Well, it's so good to see everyone. It's good to have all our members here, and we have visitors with us also. We're thankful that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back at any opportunity that you have. Sometimes it's difficult for us to be Christians. It's hard for us to face opposition to our Christianity, which we have to do from time to time. We may struggle with being faithful when times get difficult. When things get hard in our lives, sometimes it's hard to continue to have that strong faith and trust in God. We think that God should just take all our problems away, and if He's not doing that, we may grow weaker in our faith toward Him. But the Bible encourages us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, among other places, but in 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, it encourages us to add virtue to our faith. We said in our last lesson, in last week's lesson, that we're going to be going through these various things that we need to add to our faith. We're supposed to have faith as Christians, we're supposed to grow in our faith, and we're supposed to add these various characteristics to our faith. And the first one is virtue. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And so we must do what we can to add virtue to our faith. Being a virtuous individual means that we're going to determine to do what is right in every situation. And in fact, we're going to look at the definition of what virtue is, different definitions of it, and come up to a summary definition of what virtue is. But it's all about doing what is right. We're going to model ourselves after good, and we're going to do opposite of that which is wrong. When we look at people who did something that is wrong in the Bible, then we're going to do the opposite of that. We're going to do what is right, and we're going to determine in our hearts with all courage that we're going to do the right thing. We need to learn much about what it truly means to be virtuous. I think this quote on the screen really summarizes what virtue really is. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. And that's what we need to understand as Christians. What is important in our lives? Our important is serving God. It is following God. It is serving Him acceptably as a Christian. And if fear gets in the way of that, then we need to knock the fear back. And we don't need to allow it to interfere with us serving God. So what's more important? We find out what's more important, and when fear is in the way of that, we put that aside and we press on. And I hope that we will see that as we go through this lesson, what it truly means to add virtue to our faith. We're going to define virtue as it is used in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. We're going to look at biblical examples, both of biblical examples of those who were not virtuous. And as we said, when there are people who are not virtuous, we're going to do the opposite of that. And then we're going to look at those who are virtuous and then model ourselves after them. But we're going to conclude that we must add virtue to our faith. And I hope that we can see what that is, what that means, what we are expected to do in order to add virtue to our faith. So let's look at some definitions of what virtue is. And first, we're going to look at the translations, because the word that is translated virtue in the New King James Version, if you read from a different version, it may read differently. If you read from the New International Version, it says goodness. So virtue is goodness. It's the same idea. The New American Standard Bible says moral excellence. So you have virtue, you have goodness, you have moral excellence. And then, as we said, King James Version, New King James, the American Standard Version, and the Revised Standard Version all use the word virtue when it is translated from the Greek. Well, virtue defined, we can look at the Vine's definition. Vine defines what these Greek words are, what they mean. Vine says it is an intrinsic eminence, a moral goodness of any particular moral excellence where virtue is enjoined as an essential quality in the exercise of faith. So moral goodness, it says, a moral excellence. That's what virtue is all about. In the Gospel Advocate, Guy Woods defines it this way. He defines it as a courage and soul vigor, a determination to do what is right. Now, I like that definition, where you are determined as a Christian that you're going to do the right thing. And again, that's not always easy. No, it wasn't necessarily easy for some of us to get up this morning and to come to church, but we're going to be determined to do that. It's not necessarily easy for us to live life as a Christian in the workplace when you're with people who are not Christians. And yet we are determined to do what is right. That's what being a Christian is all about. So that's Wood's definition of it. Barnes notes, Albert Barnes says, referring to manliness, courage, vigor, energy, and the sense is that he wished them to evince whatever firmness or courage might be necessary in maintaining the principles of their religion and in enduring the trials to which their faith might be subjected. True virtue is not a tame and passive thing. It requires a great energy and boldness, for its very essence is firmness, manliness, and independence. Now, we've all seen Christians who basically sit back and they're shy and they do nothing and they really do nothing but what they have to do, the minimum requirements. This says it's not a tame or passive thing. It's not something that we just, go through the motions and we do this and do that. No, it requires great energy and boldness, it says. But again, you see the same kind of words. You see courage and vigor. These are all the idea of what virtue is all about. So I've summarized all of these the best that I could in order to kind of put it in layman's terms and bring it down to my level where I can understand it the easiest way for me. And I defined it as having a courageous zeal and the determination to do what is right with moral excellence. That's virtue. That's what we are to be, virtuous individuals. We're going to be courageous and we're going to determine to do what is right in any situation, any time. We're going to be bold. Doesn't matter what anybody says to us, what anybody does to us, we're going to determine to do what is right. That's what virtue is all about. Well, let's look at those individuals who were not virtuous people. And the first one is a group. And we mentioned this in class in John chapter 12, verses 42 through 43, the rulers that are of the Sanhedrin Council, that are on the Sanhedrin Council. But look with me in John chapter 12, and let's read what it says about these rulers who serve on the Sanhedrin Council, the Council of the Jews. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 42, it says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him." So who's that? They believed in Christ. Many believed in Jesus Christ, who were of the rulers. Now remember, these are the same rulers that sentenced him to be taken to the Romans so that he would be crucified. They wanted him dead. But it says, many believed in him, but it says, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. The highest levels of Jewish leadership. It says there were many of them who believed, and yet they did not want to lose their position. They didn't want to lose their power, and therefore they refused to confess him. Now remember, there were some on the Sanhedrin Council that did believe and did do what was right. Nicodemus is one who Jesus went to by night and told him what he must do to be born again through water, to be born again, to be baptized. Joseph of Arimathea, who took Jesus' body from the cross after he asked permission for that to go and bury it, he did what was right. He was determined to do what was right, and he did it. So Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea are exceptions to the rule there. But many of the rulers of the Jews of this passage did not confess Christ, because they love the praise of men instead of the praise of God. And they didn't want to put their ruling positions in jeopardy, as we said. They were scared of the Pharisees. Now, being scared doesn't have anything to do with being virtuous, does it? Virtuous is courageous. It is bold. It is determined to do what is right no matter what. And if these people believed in Jesus, they should have been bold and courageous enough to confess Jesus, and they didn't do it. And therefore, they had no virtue whatsoever. Courageous zeal, determination to do what was right, was not in these men. Well, the second one we'll talk about is Peter. And we just recently talked about Peter in our Mark class also. Peter denied Christ. And we know the account of how Peter denied Christ. And Peter had been told by Jesus previously that he would deny Christ. Jesus told him that he would deny him. Remember, before the rooster crowed twice, he would deny him. Peter said that he would go to prison rather than deny him. Peter said that he would die rather than deny him. But Peter did not do that. Peter did exactly as Jesus told him he would do. The Lord's prophecy certainly came true where Peter denied Jesus. When we look in Luke's account of that, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 57, Luke chapter 22 and verse 57 says, and that this is before a servant girl, saw him sitting by the fire, verse 56 says, she says, this man was also with him, but he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. So that's one denial there in verse 57. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after an hour had passed, another confidently confirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. All right, so is that an individual in this situation? Now, I know that Peter did good things, and he stood up for Christ in different situations. He cut off the servant's ear. He was ready to fight for Christ, Malchus's ear. But in this situation right here, did he have a courageous zeal? Did he have a determination to do what was right? Did he stand up with boldness against these who accused him of being with Jesus? No, he did not. And therefore, in these situations, we must not be like Peter was here when he denied Christ, because he did not show a moral excellency. He did not show that he was determined to do what was right. He was too scared to do the right thing in this time. Well, then we think about all the rest of the disciples, because it wasn't just Peter. All the rest of them had their own problems. We look in Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56. Now, Jesus predicted, before we get to verse 56, Jesus predicted that this would happen, that all of them would stumble. Matthew 26, back up in verse 31, it says, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. And it fulfilled prophecy. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. So when the shepherd was struck, the apostles fled. They ran away. They were scared. Well, verse 56 says that that actually did happen. Remember, Peter said in verse 33, said, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Verse 35, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. It wasn't just Peter. Peter denied Christ, as he said, but it was not just Peter. It was all of the disciples, it says. Well, verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophet might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Is that a moral excellence? Is that a boldness? Is that courage? Certainly not. They were not courageous when times got hard. They did not have virtue. And that was the problem with them here. Well, let's look at those now who were virtuous individuals. We saw the rulers were not of the Sanhedrin Council who believed but did not confess. We saw that Peter was not when he denied Christ. We saw that all the disciples were not when they all fled, when they were all scattered. So let's look at those who were full of virtue. And the first one I want to look at is back in the Old Testament, the account of Daniel. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1, and let's read a little bit about how Daniel reacted in this passage. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel had been taken captive by the Babylonians along with other young men, and they were all taken captive because they were going to be made advisors to the king. They were wise young individuals. They were smart. They were good looking. And he wanted them to be a part of their kingdom, to be the wise men in his kingdom, along with other wise men that he had. Well, in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, the king appointed them, these are talking about these young men that they took captive, the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. So he gave them a portion of his food from his own table. The delicacies, it says, from his table. The best food, the best wine was offered to these young men, including Daniel. Well, it says that as they were going to eat and drink these delicacies from the king's table, they were going to be trained to be the wise men in his kingdom for 3 years. Well, when we go to verse 6, now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as their names were changed to. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. So what does it say Daniel did? He purposed in his heart. He decided then and there that he was determined to do what was right. And he wasn't going to eat these delicacies from the king's table that might defile his body. You see, the Jews were only allowed to eat certain things. They were allowed to eat certain meats that were clean. They were not able to eat unclean meats. Daniel wouldn't have known whether these were clean or unclean, whether they've been sacrificed to idols or not. Daniel didn't know. He didn't want to defile himself. So he determined, he had a determination to do what was right with a courageous zeal to stand up to the king and say, I'm not going to eat this. And remember what he requested. He said, well, I'll eat vegetables. Bring me vegetables and water, and I'll eat that and drink that instead of the king's delicacies. And therefore, they allowed it. They granted him that, gave him the ability to eat the vegetables and drink the water and not have to have any of the rest. And remember in verse 15 what happened, what the result of that was. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in the flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. And I think God was making a point here that they don't have to eat from the king's table to stay healthy and to stay, you know, ready to go. They could eat vegetables and water and be just fine. Made the point to them there. But the point for us is Daniel made the right decision. He stood up with a courageous zeal and he did the right thing. Even when it was the king of Babylon who took him captive, telling him to do something different. He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand up and follow God. Well, then we look at the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they became known as, and as we certainly refer to them as today. Daniel's three friends, the story is in chapter 3 of Daniel. And remember, Nebuchadnezzar commanded that whenever music was sounded, that everybody was supposed to stop where they were and fall down and worship a golden image. And so as they fell down and worshiped this golden image, they were supposed to bring their allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar, saying, I'm going to do what Nebuchadnezzar tells me to do. He tells me to fall down and worship this image. I'm going to do it. Well, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to fall down and worship this image. And why did they do that? Why did they refuse? Well, they knew it wasn't right. And so they determined to do what was right. They determined in their heart that they're going to have courage, that they're going to have zeal, that they're going to have the determination to do what was right, and they refused to fall down before that golden idol. And remember, because of that, they were thrown into the fiery furnace, but God saved them from that, did not allow them to perish. He allowed them to come out of that unscathed. But the point, again, for us is that these three men were full of virtue. These three men made the determination, we're going to serve God. When the king tells us to do something that's against God, we're not going to do it. We're going to stand up and serve God with courage. And they didn't care what would happen to them. They knew that fiery furnace, that was a death sentence. You get thrown into that fiery furnace. Remember, it was so hot. He made it so hot that the soldiers that took the prisoners there died. They perished. And so here they were willing to go and be thrown into that fiery furnace in order to stand up for God. Now, they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know God was going to save them. They figured that they'd be thrown in and they would perish. They would die. But in doing that, they would be serving and following God. And so they were willing, full of virtue, full of courage, full of determination to do what was right. They made the right decision and served God. Well, then we go to the New Testament and we look at Peter and John. And remember, we saw Peter before. He messed up. He wasn't full of virtue. But now we're going to see a change in him. And he becomes full of virtue in this instance. Peter wasn't a perfect man. Paul has to address him later telling that you're doing what is wrong, that you need to correct your life. So Peter wasn't perfect. He made mistakes still. But in this instance, Peter had the determination to do what was right, and he did it. Look with me in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and this is after they had been arrested for preaching Christ. Verses 2 through 3 says, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So they laid hands on them, they arrested them, because, it says, they were preaching Christ, and they were preaching about the resurrection, about His resurrection from the dead. So they arrested them. Well, they faced the Sanhedrin Council. And they were told when they faced the Sanhedrin Council that they weren't supposed to preach anymore. But notice verse 13. Notice what it says. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that's the virtue. That's the determination to do what was right. In other words, we don't care what you say. We're going to do what God says. We don't care what you say. And that's because, if you back up just a minute, what did Peter say? Verse 7 of chapter 4. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. What happened to Peter? Well, Peter went from denying Christ to here telling the Sanhedrin Council, you crucified Christ, you're guilty. And then they said, don't speak about him anymore. We're going to arrest you. Don't preach this anymore. And they stood up and they preached it even to the Sanhedrin Council. And in verse 11, they saw the boldness, they saw the virtue in Peter. And they saw the man who had been healed, verse 14 says, so they couldn't deny that. And this is what they decided to do. It says in verse 15, when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. Now, they're going to threaten them and say, don't preach anymore. Don't speak in his name anymore. You think that would work with men who are full of courage, full of courageous zeal, full of a determination to do what is right? To tell them, go and don't preach anymore. You think that would work? What did Peter say in verse 19? Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Throwing it back in their face, we're not going to listen to you. We're going to preach the Word of God, and we don't care what you do to us. Now, what did they do? When they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Couldn't deny the miracle, and so they set them free and threatened them. But Peter continued teaching. And as we see, as we go on in chapter 5, we're going to notice that all the apostles are included here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 21. Or verse 29. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now they had been imprisoned again, and they're given the choice. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to do what we tell you to? And they say that they're going to obey God rather than men. Now, what was the result of that? When they said, we're going to obey God rather than the men, we're going to have a determination to do what is right, no matter what you say. What was the result of that? In verse 40, and they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So this time, they don't just threaten them and let them go. They beat them first. Well, what do you think a beating is going to do for someone who has the courage and the determination to do what is right? Didn't affect Peter and didn't affect the apostles at all. They didn't say, okay, you've beaten us. We're not going to preach Jesus anymore. We're going to stop. We're going to do what you say now. They didn't do that. They had the determination to do what was right, and they did. It says in verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Determined to do what was right. They beat them, didn't matter. They told them, don't do it, didn't matter. They did the right thing. And so for us, are we going to follow after those individuals who had no virtue, no boldness, no courage, refused to stand? Or are we going to be like Daniel and like Peter and John and like all the rest of the apostles and like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What we're commanded to do is we are commanded to add virtue to our faith. You have faith, great. You're saved, great. You're a Christian, great. Now you add virtue to your faith. You be determined to do what is right no matter what might happen to you. And that's for you and me. We're threatened, it's not going to matter. Somebody come in and tell us to stop worshiping, we're not going to stop worshiping. Somebody threatens us with our life, we're going to press on. We're not going to quit. We have the determination to do what is right. Look at a couple of passages with me. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. This is what the Hebrew writer says after he's talked about us having the boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ. We're saved from our sins. We can enter the presence of God now with all boldness through the blood of Christ. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast and the confession of our hope without wavering. For you promise is faithful, without wavering. Hold fast without wavering. That's virtue. That's the determination to do what is right. Even if we have to suffer shame like the apostles did, we're going to be determined to do what is right. And then one more in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Paul says to Timothy, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." That's a promise. That's what we're told. If we're going to serve Christ, we're going to suffer persecution, it says. "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." What's that? That's courage. That's a determination to do what is right. "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Are we that? Are we determined to do what is right? Do we have that courage? Do we have that zeal? Are we willing to continue to obey God and serve God, no matter what someone says to us or threatens to do to us? I hope we have all made that determination, because yes, persecutions will come. Yes, suffering and sorrow and difficulty will come. What are we going to do? What's our reaction going to be? Add virtue to your faith. And as we continue through our Christian lives, we continue to add virtue and become stronger and stronger and have a stronger determination. Hope that all of us are doing that as Christians. But if you haven't yet become a Christian, we want you to courageously obey. We want you to not think about what someone else says. We want you to look at what God says. What does God say to do to be saved? God says to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. We want you to do that. We urge you to do that. Become a child of God today. We hope that if you're a Christian, that you continue pressing on, that you continue to have that virtue. But if you have failed in that, you've fallen as Peter did and as others did, we hope that you'll correct your life, that you'll repent, and you'll pray and ask the Lord to forgive you. And we're here to assist you with that. We hope that you'll make the decision to become a Christian or to repent if you have sin in your life. Won't you come now and while we stand and sing?